Your heart beats faster and faster.
Hey, you cut out early on me, but that's okay, guys. We'll go right into the show, everybody. I'm going to read this. A breeze sent a chilling whisper through the tall grass around us, and the twisted limbs of the trees trembled against a background of ominous gray sky. In spite of myself, I begin to think that having another look at that haunted house might be exciting. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Sunday night. I think I read that one before, but anyway, this is your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
And just like Sean read that last week, we are the paranormal broadcast and never, never repeats itself. Never repeats itself. Never repeats itself. Never repeats itself.
It's so good. It's from my favorite book. I wanted to read it again. Anyway, you hit the cue button. I wasn't ready. But anyway, hey, gang, we are back live in studios, if you can't tell, and we'll be in the GD chat room all night long.
Oh, that's right, and you can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
And this is your ghost man, Sean B.
And that would make me Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
This is the Sunday broadcast, the Sunday, October 25th broadcast of the G&D Show.
And before I say our big line, I want to welcome our special guest in the third chair tonight, Ms. Bonnie Jo Spittler.
Hello, guys.
Hello. And
my hiatus from radio officially lasted 4 hours.
Yeah. You're a free agent now, Bonnie Day.
The Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Sean Burris. It's broadcast live on Absurd Radio, Karmacast Radio, and Omnisound Radio, and is recorded for Planet Paranormal Radio, the Black Vault Radio Network, and the Para-X Radio Network.
All right, that's awesome. That's absurd. But anyway, tonight's guest author, Jean Mackin. Is that right, Nathan? Jean Mackin?
Jeannie Mackin.
Thank you, Jeannie. Jeannie Mackin, author of The Sweet By and By. It's a story based on the lives of 19th century spiritualist Maggie Fox and her sisters, guys. If you don't know the story about it, stay tuned, because this is where a lot of the spiritualist movement started, with these sisters. Tonight, only on the G&D Show.
That's right, because the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
Are you heathens and hooligans? Come on, get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother, I could use a beer. Don't need you and I don't need this, I want to make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans, come on, get the hell out of here. Yeah, you heathens and hooligans.
And now, the original Bad Boys of Paranormal, and your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yes.
Hey, I was going to play this when you introduced Bonnie, but... Right, I didn't. I missed my cue again, man. I can't believe I read that over again, guys, that opening. But of course, that's from the Red Room Riddle. I won't go into the story because Nathan falls asleep and Bonnie starts gagging, but... I love that.
Hey, I never gag.
Oh, you don't.
The Ghostman and Demon Hunter show returns to its roots.
So it was the funniest. It was the funniest thing. I was heading into the studio today, guys. For all our listeners around the world, I was heading into the studio and I seen this look like a bag lady outside the door. And I lifted up the garbage bag that was covering her head, and it was Bonnie. And it said, we'll do radio for food. So we brought her in, we washed her up and cleaned her, and we brought her here in the G&D Show studios. So.
I was sitting in the corner in a puddle of my own urine, because I didn't know how to act without doing a radio show on Sunday.
There you go. Well, no, my dear Chrissy P. actually saw Bonnie's notes on, I guess it was Facebook, saying, Sunday night, don't know what to do with myself. And, well, we knew what to do with Bonnie.
Yeah, well, if you guys ain't got
most guys do.
Well, if you guys ain't got nothing better to do, you might as well tune in to the G&D show anyway. What do you got to lose? Anyway, first off, guys, I want to say go blue here in Naptown, Indianapolis Colts. Once again, 5-0, everybody. Yes, dominating the National Football League. But hey, me and Nathan and Bonnie Joe, we want to thank all our listeners around the world and here in the United States for tuning in on what's sure to be another great episode of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
That's right. It is sure to be. You know, Sean, for once, I am not smoking a cigar in the G&D studio.
I'm smoking one. I don't know what it's called, but I'm smoking it.
If I was smoking a cigar, I would have gone down to Butthead's Tobacco Emporium in Danbury, Connecticut to get one.
Buttheads.
But I am suffering from a bit of a chest congestion tonight, and I thought I'd give it a break. So no special cigar this evening, no cigar of the week. But if I was, I would have gone down to Butthead's and got one, despite the fact that there is this incredible new tax on cigars that's driving me crazy, Sean.
Really?
My favorite cigars used to be about $4 a piece. I went in to get them; they were like $6.79 a piece.
Yeah.
How could you put like a 50% tax on on something? It was just
they
insane.
Keep saying we're in a recession, but the only thing not receding is the price of everything else.
That's like
you
people. That's like people who keep telling me that if they could make marijuana legal and then they could control it by taxing it.
Yeah.
Well, once they tax something, they want people to do more of it. So how are they going to control it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Buddy Joe, what do you think about all this? What's going on?
I think we need to drink more. That's what
yes.
I think.
See, well, you had a whole bottle of or a whole case of Indiana wine the other day. I seen that post on Facebook.
Well, you know, a whole case of Indiana wine didn't exactly make it home because we went through a case of wine at your house.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Nine bottles of wine actually made the journey home with Doug and I. Three stayed with me. The rest went with Doug.
Ah.
And the rest was missing in action, MIA.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Doug it plans on being a wino until Ghostly Talk returns, which is precisely my plan.
He's probably passed out naked right now.
My goal is to drink heavily and often. Until Ghostly Talk returns.
Well, you know, Bonnie, it was killer for me tonight because my night usually goes 6 to 9 o'clock, listen to Ghostly Talk. 9 to 10 o'clock, mm-hmm. listen to Encounters Paranormal Radio. Steal all their mm-hmm. ideas and then do our show.
Yeah.
So,
right.
But, you know, this week we had nothing to steal. So that's why we had to bring Bonnie and Bonnie Joe in. So we would have somebody to fill in that empty space of all the stuff
because who else is going to make smart-ass sexual comments every 5 minutes?
That's true.
That's it. That's true. That's true. You can't get that anywhere else. Never, ever. But anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in again. What a great week. What a busy week. I know last Monday was a very special day here at the G&D Show Studios. The premiere of Extreme Paranormal on A&E happened. It did come out. And it's coming out again tomorrow, guys. Another
brand new episode tomorrow. Brand new episode.
Brand new, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on A&E. You might want to check that out, guys, Extreme Paranormal.
And, you know, if you did not see last week's Extreme Paranormal, you can tune in to the Biography Network tonight at 11 p.m., right after our show, and watch it then.
Right.
Oh, they're showing it again?
On the Biography Network. We're now carried by...
I watched it again last night.
We're carried by two networks now, so... It's turning into just like the G&D show, how, like, we had one network and then we got another.
You guys are too much awesome for one network.
Yeah. Well, you know, we do our best, guys, and I think it's good things. So let's see. I hope everybody tunes in, supports us tomorrow night, guys. We love you. We appreciate all your support and all the fan mail we've got from the show, and we'll just keep pushing on for you guys. This is what we do on the radio and on TV. So.
That's right. And yes, there is no fart machine in Extreme Paranormal, but we make up for it in other things. So we had Jason.
Jason Gowen.
Yes, we had Jason Gowen, so we didn't need a mechanical fart machine.
He's like a human fart, right?
It was kind of like that old Saturday Night Live skit. We had to, like, every now and then discount odors because we had Jason with us. But, you know, it's... we can say that because he's not with us tonight. Jason is stuck in an airport somewhere between here and Florida. So we love you, Jason. Wish you were here with us. But we have Bonnie, so you're out of luck. Anyway.
They wish wish you were here, but they have me, so see you, sucker.
Right. But anyway, guys, as everybody knows that's ever listened to the Ghostman Demon Hunter show, if you haven't, what closet have you been in? But anyway, this is our favorite time of year. It's a favorite time of year of ghost hunters around the world, actually, but a very dear, special time in my heart, of course, Bonnie Jo's birthday. Bonnie Jo, happy birthday's coming up next weekend, Halloween. Yes.
That's right. Bonnie Jo is our Halloween witch. That was a W, people. So,
actually, bitch works too.
Right. Either way. But, you know, I've been watching everything I could. Every channel's got like 31 days of Halloween. Now it's like 10 days of Halloween, then 5 days, then 4 days. But I've been watching everything I can. And, me and the boys last night, the squirrels have been eating our pumpkins. We went to the pumpkin patch about 2 weeks ago. And we set the pumpkins out front, and these fat squirrels have been running away with pieces of the pumpkin. So I had to bring it in, and we ended up carving it last night, and we were sitting around the table, and the boys asked me about the true story of Halloween. And I didn't know right off the top. I knew it was a pagan, Celtic, you know, based phenomena. I know that the Catholic Church had something to do with it. I watched a lot of it. I read a lot of stuff going on about it. But I thought what would be cool tonight is if all three of us here weighed in on a little piece of what we know about Halloween. I mean, everybody knows trick-or-treat and everything, but sometimes people just don't know why we trick-or-treat or why we carve pumpkins. And I thought maybe we could go around here and one of you guys could pick out your just anything, even if it's just a cool Halloween story or a story about what makes Halloween Halloween or why it is what it is. What do you guys think? Let's start with Nathan.
Oh, start with me. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, traditionally, you know, many people know Halloween started as a Celtic celebration known as Samhain, which is sometimes mispronounced as Samhain.
Aaron Gobra, my brother.
Yeah, and it was the celebration of the end of the year, the harvest. You know, you were basically celebrating the death of the season, the death of the sun. And the death of the sun comes a few months from now, but
The sun's gonna die in a few months. Did you just make a Nostradamus kind of thing?
That's right. Every year it dies. It goes to the shortest day, and then it comes.
I'll call
back.
The Sun Magazine.
But it already died. But anyway, then they would go out and they would make their offerings to the spirits in order to kind of lure the spirits away from the village because they felt it was a veil that came down that time of the year that was a very thin time between the dead and the living. When it came to America, it was basically a holiday for adults. Adults would go out and party for the holiday. They needed something to party for. It was getting cold, and they needed something to keep warm, so they drank a little bit. And after the Depression, it kind of waned away a little bit and became a holiday for children. My personal memories of Halloween, I think the biggest memories are having those plastic masks as kids with the rubber bands on the back that would always break and you'd have to walk around all day with the mask in front of you, you know, holding it with your hand. But
I was just getting ready to add, Demon Hunter, the only group I know is us that will party just because it's 12 noon on a Tuesday. You know what
right.
I mean?
That's right. It's
don't need much, yeah.
But, you know, what drives me insane now about Halloween is I went to pick up some Halloween decorations the other day, and I couldn't find them behind the Christmas trees.
Yeah.
Okay? They've got the Christmas stuff out. They had the Christmas stuff out when they started putting the Halloween stuff out. Now, I'm a fan of Christmas. I like Christmas. I go to Yule Festival every year. I spend Christmas with my family. I have my own, like, celebration here.
You like chestnuts roasted on an open fire?
No, you're not welcome to my house for Christmas. But that's just, you know, it just drives me insane that Halloween is taking a backseat to Christmas in the Halloween month. That drives me insane.
I love
Halloween. I've loved it all my life. And even when my family said, you know, be careful, there's ghosts and spooks and demons out there, that just made me want to go out more on Halloween. So, Sean, what's your favorite Halloween story besides watching the Red Room Riddle on TV?
Right. Well, that was good, too. But I was actually watching the Haunted History of Halloween on one of the channels tonight. And I was listening to it, and they were talking about, you guys remember when we were kids, especially if you were born back in the 70s. I'm a 75 baby. And anybody right around that age would remember this. But I remember when there was a panic about people putting poison and putting razor blades and needles into apples and candy and stuff like
yeah,
that. And
I remember that.
They had community nights on Halloween where you would take them to the local fire station or the hospitals, and they would x-ray your candy. You guys remember this?
I do.
Yep. I do.
And they started talking about that, and they said in the history of all that happened, four kids actually did have some type of poison or razor blade or needles in their candy bars. Now, kids, don't do this at home. Very bad for you. I'm not saying you should do that because it's terrible. You should always watch what you're eating. But they said there was only four cases, and they were not by strangers, but people within the kids' families.
Most of the families, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I got that. I heard that, and that was kind of a cool little – not a cool thing, but at least you don't have to be afraid of everything out there, you know?
Now, my family didn't take me out to get my candy x-rayed. They just threw away anything that I brought home that could have been considered dangerous, that could have had something put in it. If it wasn't wrapped in, like, 10 layers of foil, I didn't get to eat it.
Right.
So, but, yes, I do remember that scare.
Yeah, that was a spooky time, but I, too, remember the rubber band around the mask. I remember being the werewolf. I was a chubby child, much like a chubby man today. And I remember Mom used to make me wear these sweats, and they barely fit me, guys, you know, but they were my Halloween sweats. And it's like my belly was hanging out of them. They were all black, and I had this werewolf mask and these long werewolf hands that didn't fit, and they would drag me around from house to house. And it was, for most children, that would scar them somehow. But I loved it. It was great, man.
Actually, the part that scarred me the most, Sean, was spending all that money, or my family spending all that money on the Halloween costume. I wanted all year long, I'd say, I want to be Casper this year. And then Halloween would come, and I'd have to wear my coat over the costume.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's going to happen this year because it's so cold, especially in the Midwest. But, you know, the whole thing about Halloween is going out, and I was trying to tell the kids last night, you know, running amok, man, smelling the fresh, crisp air and going door to door and, you know, playing the pranks. But nobody knows the background to why we do what we do. I was actually watching that show, Trick or Treat, and I recommend it for anybody, guys. It's a B-film, B-horror film, but I loved it because it talks about why we do what we do, why you don't blow out your pumpkin until Halloween is over. Why you hand out candy. And of course that, you know, why we hand out candy was to appease the dead, to honor the dead, to feed them, you know, if you will. And the reason the pumpkins were there, they acted as gargoyles. They would scare away the spirits, the negative energies that would come to people's homes door to door. And you never blew out the pumpkin light until after midnight, until Halloween was all the way over. Or you paid the Piper Man. If you blew it out, evil spirits would ruin your crops or whatever. And so I love all that old stuff, man. Well, Bonnie Joe, do you have any good stories?
I got nothing.
You got nothing. What'd you used to do on Halloween?
Hey, look, you didn't warn me that you were going to, like, ask me stuff.
You say that like you think we you say that like you think we prepare any of this.
Well, I know, but I really, while you were doing all that talking, I was in the liquor store buying beer. So,
You can buy beer on a Sunday in Michigan?
Yep, you sure can, because I just did.
Oh, wow.
What did we used to do? See, my Halloween was always, it was always quite unique, because most kids on Halloween, you know, they go out, they get candy, then they come home and begin a massive sugar high. Well, I did that, but then we had cake and ice cream on top of it, which only made it worse and explains why I'm still a little fat kid, but,
whatever.
Well,
whatever.
You know, Sean, I just got to throw this out here. I just saw Ghost Chaser say that she loved or was it Ghost Chaser? Somebody on here talked about going to the old lady's house that gave you 5 pennies wrapped in aluminum foil or plastic wrap.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
That
I never got
that.
The
was
pennies.
Ghost Hugger. Ghost Hugger. I'm sorry.
I never
well,
got
see,
the pennies.
My family, we lived in, our neighborhood consisted of 7 streets. That was our subdivision. 7 streets, that was it. Everyone knew everyone. So the worrying about, you know, stuffing your candy really didn't happen with us. So they would create, like, little individual goodie bags, and they would make us cookies and cupcakes and
You guys didn't worry about it because the Spittler family was the ones handing it out.
Well, yeah, most of the time, all the evil in the subdivision came from me. But, like, everyone knew everyone. It was a really, really small subdivision. And up until, like, I don't know, by the time I stopped trick-or-treating and then I was, like, taking my nephew trick-or-treating, that's when, like, all the old families had moved out, new families had moved in, and we trusted no one.
Right.
Oh, yeah, Bonnie Jo, that's such a sad story.
It is, really, because, truthfully, there was nothing better than, like, knowing that, okay, now we're going to the Smith house, and they're going to have homemade cupcakes for us. And then we're going to go to this house, and they're going to have homemade cookies for us. Like, we knew that every year.
Well,
and homemade cupcakes.
What?
Homemade cupcakes. I love them.
Right. And it was like the type of neighborhood where they would, if they weren't going to be home, they still put all the cupcakes out on their porch because they knew on average how many kids came around. Yeah. And just left them out there, trusting everyone to just take one.
Which they didn't expect Bonnie to be the first one there.
I know there was a hippie commune that lived down the
road. What are you trying to say, Nathan?
Hey, I know there was a bunch of hippies that lived down the road from us, and they would leave out magic brownies for every kid.
You know what? I really wish someone would have left out magic brownies for us, but yeah, no, that didn't happen.
I think you had one too many crazy brownies,
you know, quick,
Bonnie Jo.
Quick going back, Sean, to your talk about the pumpkins there. I remember being a kid, and this is why the name Sam Hain sticks in my head, and I still mess it up. After years of working with, like, tons of pagan groups, I still call it Sam Hain instead of Samhain because my father used to tell me if we didn't keep the pumpkin lit, Sam Hain would come to get us.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it was, that still sticks in my head today whenever Halloween
Sam
comes
Hain.
Around. I still light my pumpkin on Halloween, you know? It's...
I used to love the way people decorated their yards. I don't see it that much anymore, guys. And listen, we're all adults now, and I'm just as guilty. But run out and get a skeleton and put it in a cardboard box out front and have it jump out at the kids. I mean, really, we should do that again. I remember every yard was like a small carnival, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And you'd walk up, and they'd have music playing and everything. But anyway, that was our stories about Halloween, guys. Halloween's coming up, and we all love it. But we got news! We got news!
We got time for a news story. Give us a news story, Sean.
Well, we got some quick ones, guys. If you go online and you look up Beijing androids, you'll see the picture of this young lady, and she looks of Japanese or Chinese descendant, and she's very pretty. The only thing about it is she's not a real lady. She's an android. So the future is now, guys. It says customers at the Beijing jewelry store have been fascinated by and a little too fresh with this robotic shop assistant. She cost $60,000 but increased sales by a whopping 30% and attracted hundreds of grabby men. In the end, I had to put up no touching sign and ban some persistent offenders, explains shop owner Lee Quang. There are some very strange people out there, but they're talking about this android, guys. It's going right now for $60,000. And she's supposed to be, I don't know if she's anatomically correct.
You know, there's a lot of guys out there.
I want one that looks like the Ghost Man.
Right.
There's a lot there's a lot of guys out there sitting in their basements pulling their quarters together right now, Sean, trying to figure out if they can get $60,000.
I think they're pulling more than their quarters.
Little Halloween humor for you. For Halloween. Anyway, guys, we got another one, too. We've got another astronaut going up with the space shuttle getting ready to go off. It says clown trades his red nose in for spacesuit. You guys can't handle this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Space scientists are preparing. Right. Space scientists are preparing to send the first clown into orbit. Canadian performer Guy Liberté, the founder of Circus du Soleil, I think I pronounced that right, is paying $35 million for a Russian spacecraft to take him to the International Space Station. He says he plans to bring red noses for the astronauts. I'm a person with pretty high spirit. Who's there to crack jokes, he explains. While they're sleeping, you know I'll be tickling them. So anyway, first clown in space is going up due to blast off sometime next month, guys. So we're taking humor up to the space station, finally.
Great.
What
do you think with that?
Some people really just have too much money. And I'm sorry, but if I was on the moon or wherever, and someone woke me up tickling me, they'd be the first dead clown in space.
You don't like clowns, Bunny Joe.
Clowns really don't bother me, but people that annoy me when I'm sleeping should die.
Right, right. So
that's really all I got. So if I was stuck with a clown in space that tickled me in my sleep, he would either come back dead or come back missing some appendages.
Right. Well, here's another story, guys. We were talking about the shop dummies, right? The mannequins.
Yep.
This one says, keep the dummies pure. And this this came out in a Iran newspaper. It says, shopkeepers in Iran have been officially warned not to use mannequins that are too sexy.
Oh, my.
Right? Oh, my God.
Clothing dummies must not expose the body curves and must cover their heads with veils. Male mannequins wearing Western items like bow ties are also banned. So they're saying all these mannequins out there right now must have skirts that cover their ankles, and they must have something across their face, some type of veil. In Iran, they cannot. I thought that's why we fought the war. I thought Iran was cool now. They were liberated and everything.
Well,
we fought the war so
they could make their own choices, and I guess they're choosing to do everything we asked them not to.
I think I'm going to wear a face mask from now on.
Okay. Yay! Where's my button with the button that says yay?
Hold on. Yeah.
Did you say male mannequins with bow ties?
Yeah, you can't have any kind of Western.
When are bow ties sexy?
I don't know. Pee Wee Herman, he was pretty sexy, I guess. But wow.
Okay.
You got time for one more, Sean. Do you want to fit another story in there?
I don't think you can handle it, man.
I think I can handle it.
Bring it on.
Well, this is a long story. Do we got time
for
it? Oh,
no, we don't have time for a long one.
Don't have any shirts, so we better add our own. You don't have time for a lot. Anyway, let's give a shout out to everybody in the chat room tonight, guys. We are a little rusty, but it feels like we do a show every once in a while. So I'll give a shout out to Terry in the house. So we got Ghost Chaser, of course, our good friend Sir Gareth. What's up, brother? We got Shelly, Ghost Hugger, Sweetie Boo, and Moofy Cake in the chat room. And of course, all you people that aren't in the chat room listening around the world, we love ya.
We do.
I think about you right now. I'm sweating.
Sean's in his basement.
Mm-hmm. I am sweating, actually. I think the boys must have cranked up the heat, man.
You know, it's funny. I actually opened a window, and I'm still warm here. So, yeah, it's bizarre weather we're having. I think that's why I wound up getting sick. So
I think it is. And that, I think we've all
that and all the excitement and stress of waiting. You know, my beard is gone gray again, Sean, but I'm hoping to trim it all off and it'll grow back in its normal color. So
oh yeah,
yeah, I think the stress of this week just
I'm letting mine grow out as Rob Zombie. I'm letting it go all the way down to my belly button.
Yeah that'll happen. I can see the lady of the house approving that.
She don't care. It's my current employer that wouldn't appreciate that too much, but oh well. Anyway, guys, so you know, Halloween's fast approaching. I hope everybody has a great Halloween next weekend, guys. And Nathan, are we going to go to break?
We are going to go to break. And when we come back, we will have... That's your line, Sean.
Yeah, I got it right here. We're going to have Jeannie Mackin in the house, author of The Sweet By and By, guys. We're going to be talking about the spiritualist movement. And that's very interesting, guys, because that's when it all came into play, the hokey pokey. So stay tuned. Up next.
That's right. We'll be right back.
Stay around.
Are you looking for your favorite paranormal podcast? Well, come and visit us at planetparanormal.com. We are your guide to the other side. Come and check out our hub to see all our latest podcasts from your favorite paranormal celebrities. And don't forget to check out our news feeds to see what's late great in the paranormal community, as well as events coming to a town near you. Come visit us on the web at www.planetparanormal.com. That's www.planetparanormal.com.
The Darker Side of the Moon is an alternative talk variety show.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Since 2006, host Becky Ray and Laura Moon speak with independent filmmakers, authors, musicians, artists, and many, many more.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Sometimes serious, mostly fun, The show has a little for everyone.
DarkSideRadio.com.
Was it odd, freaky, and you didn't hear it on the 5 o'clock news? Then we'll probably cover it here.
DarkSideRadio.com.
Darker Side currently airs live Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 7 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Pacific.
DarkSideRadio.com.
If you happen to miss it, you can listen to show archives at any time online at DarkSideRadio.com, or you may subscribe to the show on iTunes.
DarkSideRadio.com.
Welcome to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. Get your weekly download to all things ghostly and paranormal, and then some. Test your knowledge of the paranormal with haunted trivia. Email your otherworldly experiences for Parashare and listen in to the rants and useless banter of Laura and Brian. If they've got an opinion on the paranormal,
or even a great pub,
they'll talk about it. The Deadline can be easily downloaded from the NJGHS.net website. You can also listen to archive shows at PodcastAlley.com. Say, while at Podcast Alley, cast a vote for The Deadline, because everyone knows that at some point in life, you have to meet the deadline.
Hey, this is Nathan S. of the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. When we needed a logo that would tell people what we were all about but was different from anything else out there, we went right to Loki Graphics at LokiGraphicsInc.com. We love the artwork that owner and illustrator Jonathan Sullivan came up with so much, we ordered our t-shirts and banners from Loki Graphics right away. They provided us with high-quality graphic art, screen printing, and helped us pick out the best value for our t-shirts and other products that fit our budget. LokiGraphicsInc.com is the official graphic designer and screen printer for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Phone, email, and postal orders are all accepted, with contact information available on their website. Shipping is available for any order, or if you're local, you can stop by the shop and pick up your finished product. Check out Loki Graphics at LokiGraphicsInc.com and tell them the Ghostman and Demon Hunter sent you.
Hi, this is Shannon Sylvia from Ghost Hunters International, and you're listening to Ghostman and the Demon Hunter Show.
All you heathens and hooligans gonna wanna get the hell out of here.
Hello, Jeannie.
Hi.
Guys, we're back. Sean, you there? Sean?
Where is he?
Sean. Bonnie, are you there?
I'm here.
Bonnie's there. Where did our Sean go? Sean.
And I'm here. I heard you guys from the outside the studio in the laundry room. I heard you guys calling my name.
Well, Jeannie, welcome to the once again extremely professional Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Absolutely. Thank
Hello.
You, Jeannie.
Well, I'm glad everyone's accounted for. Hate to lose someone.
We were worried there for a second. We thought we lost you, Sean.
All right. Well, you guys should be worried. Because,
I thought the Rougarou came and got you.
The Rougarou!
Rougarou!
You guys will find out about that tomorrow. But anyway... Jeannie, thanks so much for joining us. I have so many questions. I know Nathan does too, and Bonnie, but if they allow me, I'll start first. Here in beautiful...
No.
No? Right. Well, here in the state of Indiana, we have what's called Camp Chesterfield.
Uh-huh.
Have you heard of this?
No, I haven't.
Oh, Camp Chesterfield is the second oldest spiritualist... What is it, buddy? Commune, or...
It's a spiritualist camp.
Oh, okay, so probably up here we have the oldest in Freeville, right?
Yeah, and we have the second.
Uh-huh, okay.
And I guess you wouldn't know. I was going to ask if the Fox sisters had anything to do with that, the founding of the place.
Not really Freeville. Everything's connected, right? I mean, in the 19th century, there were so many religions up here, they called it the Burnt Over District. So I wouldn't say that, no, they weren't connected. They weren't directly connected, but there were just spiritualists all over the place, and they were partly really responsible for how popular rapping and things like that became. And they're still pretty well thought of and revered, especially
now,
in Freeville.
Now, Jeannie, in your research, how much did you discover the Fox sisters really having to expand the spiritualist movement?
Oh, boy. expanded. They pretty much started American spiritualism.
Yeah.
I mean, they were the founding mothers of it. I mean, they, before them, there were tent meetings, a lot of evangelical, but the actual, you know, the table rapping, the seances, the trumpets dropping from the ceiling, that's all the Fox sisters. They had a huge following. Mark Twain made fun of them, said that they should start issuing passports for all of the spirits that were showing up.
Oh, wow, and Houdini. Houdini was out after him, was he not?
Yeah, yeah. One of the biggest supporters was Conan Doyle, though. He really believed in them completely.
Now, didn't he, like, want to believe in the spiritual movement and the spiritual side so badly that he even believed in those fairy pictures that came out?
He did, you know. You know, his son died in World War I, and it really devastated him. And I think, you know, a lot of people get so consumed by the grief that's kind of when they kind of lose perspective. He really wanted to believe. He really needed to.
Right, right. The thing about the Fox sisters, I like these chicks already. You know, I read the story about how they lived in the farmhouse.
Right.
And how they believed that there was a spirit in the house that would communicate through rapping on walls, right?
Right, right.
Now,
through the walls, through tables, on floors.
Now, Jeannie, how did they go from too scared, too frightened little girls to having a clientele?
What? They were the equivalent of the celebrities of their day. I mean, it was, you know, a time when every little town had 5 or 6 newspapers.
Right.
They didn't have television, radio, all of the distractions we have. Everything was in print, and newspapers were really hungry to fill columns. And so they got tremendous press. Horace Greeley was one of their sponsors, as well as P.T. Barnum. And people needed a lot of amusement. We were just starting to grow a middle class. People were no longer working 16 hours a day. But yet we still had that Puritan background where you didn't go out dancing, you didn't go drinking to parties. So what do people do? You know, they sit in closed rooms and knock on tables, and they need that amusement as well as the credibility, the belief.
I'm sorry, Sean, I just want to ask this. That was also around the time that people stopped working a 10-day work week and moved to a 7-day work week, correct?
It was more like an 8 or 9 hour work week, a 6-day work week, but maybe 8 or 9 hours a day.
Okay.
Right. Now, with the Fox sisters, was there anything ever proven that this was, in fact, spiritual contact?
How do you prove that? You know, I think because it's such a mystery, it can't be really proven or disproven. Maggie Fox, the most talented of the sisters, actually rented a hall in New York towards the end of her career to show how she had tricked people. Yeah, I mean, she did a full-out confession of, you know, this is what we did and this is how we did it. But the wonderful part of that is that afterwards the newspapers printed a story. Mischievous spirits had persuaded her to tell lies. Even when she confessed, they wouldn't believe that they'd been tricked.
I think
I tried that one myself.
It doesn't work.
I think mischievous spirits are playing with my microphones here because they just cut us out for a second there, but we're back.
Okay.
We're back.
We're live.
We're live. If it wasn't live, I could cut out all those mistakes. But
Jeannie, you know, a lot of people, they talk down about the spiritualists and stuff like that. I myself don't know anything about, I mean, I know the history and stuff. I don't know if I can say, yeah, I believe, yeah, I don't.
Right.
But I will say, you know, some of our great leaders have took the advice of their spiritualists. They're you know, whatever you want to call them. I know that Abraham Lincoln's wife, she tried to contact her son.
And her husband. She saw them. She had a seance with the Fox sisters.
Okay.
He was one of their clients. Yeah. Yeah, she was really into it. Elizabeth Barrett Browning.
Right.
Oh, was a great believer in the spirituals. And the thing about the
Sarah Winchester.
I don't know her.
Well,
but you know, the 19th century spiritualists were actually very important because they were part of, you know, how fringe movements kind of cluster together, And as well as being spiritualists, they also were part of the abolitionist movement, the early settlementist movement, the labor movement. All of those things kind of grouped together. So while, you know, some of the spiritualists were fraudulent and filled with tricks, they also had this kind of social agenda that was very important for the 19th century.
Well,
it wasn't just a lot of cruel practical jokes. Abolition of slavery owed a lot to the spiritualist movement.
Well, you know, Jeannie, there's your next book, because you can study Sarah Winchester. She was told by a spiritualist that the spirits of all the people that her family's guns, they had invented the Winchester gun, the spirit of all the people killed by the guns were coming to get her, and so she had to build a house to hide from them.
Oh, and she's the one who built the house that never got finished?
Exactly.
Right, right.
There's your next story about spiritualism right there.
Right, yeah.
Now, listen, Bonnie, Nathan, you guys may back me up on this, but I'll tell you what, Jeannie.
Yeah.
A lot of the Fox sisters, a lot of spiritualists, they take a lot of heat for a lot of things, especially back in the old days as technology became more and more and we found out more about what goes bump in the night isn't always a ghost. And some of them deserved to, because some of them were fraudulent.
Right.
I know there were some that Houdini investigated, some spiritualists, that he could not prove. He wouldn't say they were real, but he could not find proof that they were phony.
Right.
You know, and I got to say, there's a lot of people today that will speak out against, you know, the old ways and how some of the spiritualists did their things. But I think today we have just as many frauds as we do real life spiritualists, don't you?
We probably have more frauds than we have real life spiritualists.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of people use fear nowadays. They use fear to scare people. You know, this is going to happen, or this is, you know, it's no different than the days of old, is it?
Probably not. I mean, that was one of the things that I loved about the 19th century spiritualism. Whatever questions you had about them 150 years ago, we still have today. You know, what is real? What is not? Why do people want this? Why do they need this? What actually happens? You know, what is explained? What is not explained? I mean, there's just a level there that I don't think is ever really going to go away. I mean, my only way to deal with it is to say what we're talking about really is the unexplained. And maybe it's not even that much of a mystery. It is just kind of unexplained. And, you know, there is reality that cannot be explained. And the spiritualists, you know, kind of really picked up on that. And, I would not say they were all fraud any more than I would say they were all real. I mean, there were some people obviously just really making a lot of good money off of this, or getting pressed or whatever they wanted, or even just amusing themselves. But some of the spiritists were also very, you know, to use the word, deeply spiritualistic and authentic and sincere.
Well, and regardless, it's a part of Americana history. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I know for my birthday, Stacey K got me a original Ouija board from William Fold. It still has the trademark on the top and everything, from 1908. And I framed it. I got it hanging on the wall.
Have you used it?
I have not. It didn't come with the planchette. The lady had found it in her attic.
Uh-huh.
And on the back, it was dated. It has the directions on the back, and it was dated, patented, trademark 1908.
Oh,
and I just framed it, and I got it hanging up in the house because it's part of our history. It's
we've
been.
And I know I have a personal love for the spiritualist movement, a fondness in my heart, because up until I met some psychics and spiritualists, all the study I had done into, like, ghost hunting and things, it was all involving demons, and it was strictly biblical training. And then when I met the spiritualist groups, they actually took me on psychic investigations. And from the psychic investigations, I got involved with ghost hunting. And that led me to where I am today and studying all the different groups that are out there that I can find.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, it was really a big start for me in that.
And see, spiritualism led me to cross-dressing. I mean, it happened. I can't.
I'm not seeing the connection.
Right. Right. Well, you know, it happens.
I think it was the Indiana wine, Sean.
I'm kidding. I don't cross-dress on the weekdays.
Yes, he does.
Might as well do it in the name of spiritualism, you know.
That's right.
You know, and some of the 19th century spiritualists got really rowdy. There was a temple somewhere in the Midwest, I can't remember, built in the shape of a woman's body.
Right.
With various orifices that you entered.
Wow.
Seriously, seriously. I mean, yeah.
Now, you... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Now we actually call them gynecologists, don't we?
Yeah, oh, it's the doctor's office.
I'm terrible.
Now, Jeannie, we were talking before about Lincoln and his wife and how she believes so much in the spiritualism. There's a belief out there that spirit attracts spirit, that the more you try to contact the spirits, the more they'll come to you. Do you think it's possible that the original attempts of Lincoln's wife, whose first name, Sean, do you remember her first name?
Mary Todd Lincoln,
thank you. Just, it escaped me for a second. All her attempts to try and contact the spirit world are what have made that one of the most famous haunted locations in the world now, the White House.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe we see what we look for. Do we call things into being? I don't know. It's a really old building with a tremendous history to it. That certainly has to have something to do with it. This accumulation of experience inside structures, I think, can kind of call things out or keep them there or whatever is actually going on.
So, Jeannie, when you were thinking up the name for your book, which is awesome, by the way, The
Thank
Sweet
you.
By and By, what yeah. was running through your head? I mean, how do you come up with a name like that?
You know? A friend of mine came up with it, and I just fell in love with it. It's an old hymn.
Yes,
we shall meet in the sweet by and by. And the book is all about these thoughts about death and the afterlife, and is there an afterlife? And is there communication between those two forms of existence if there is an afterlife? And that's kind of what the sweet by and by is all about. You know, it's the place where people meet after death. And it's just such a sweet, sweet name, you know, the sweet by and by.
It is.
But that's my friend Mary Kay. I owe her tremendously for that.
You know, I wonder if these are frauds, which I'm not saying they are. I think truly some people out there can connect with the other side. I really do. And I'll believe that till the day I die when I'm screaming at somebody going, I said this, tell them this, you know, that I'll be believing that. But I think, like, we went out, myself, Doug Semig, and Bonnie Joe. We went out to the spiritualist camp, Camp Chesterfield, and we went on an Easter Sunday, wasn't it, Bonnie?
Yes, it was.
Easter Sunday.
2 years ago or 3 years ago?
About 3 years ago. And they had the big thing, Jeannie. You know, it's Easter Sunday. They had the big church meeting and everything. And when we stepped onto the grounds of Camp Chesterfield, it felt like you walked back into the early or late 1800s, early
1900s. I bet.
These people lived. Yeah, these people lived out here. And we went into like a little underground cave that they had. And they had, you know, Jesus statues, Mary statues, candles always burning. People would be in there. I mean, these people, you know, tell them this is fake.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because they committed their life to this. And we went to their church. And I remember we were sitting in the back, and it was terrible because all I had on was a shirt with the New Jersey Devil on it. I wore our friends Mark and Mark from Weird US on the History Channel. I wore their jacket that has the Tasmanian devil, you know, red with the beard and the big horns. And I was so embarrassed sitting
there.
Hey,
I'm a Jersey boy. Don't go calling him the Tasmanian devil.
I said the Jersey devil.
Okay.
But, you know, I went in there and they were good people. And they told us, Bonnie, what did they tell us to write down? Do you remember?
Anything we had a question about. Not anything that we wanted to know about. They were doing billet readings is what they were doing.
What kind of readings?
Billet readings.
Oh, okay.
So they...
And so anything we had a question about, like any concerns in our lives or concerns about people we loved or anything we wanted answers to write it down.
Yeah.
And Sean, I'll let you continue from here.
Well, Bonnie did not have the best experience there. She did not leave a true believer in the spiritualist movement.
Oh.
It gets kind of sketchy.
Is that fair to say, Bonnie?
What?
Is that fair to say that you did not leave a full believer in the spiritualist movement?
I didn't leave a full believer in Camp Chesterfield.
Oh, okay.
But it was funny, you know, Jeannie, they passed around, I believe it was a hat. And that you put down your question and you put it in the hat. And they took it up to the high priestess or whatever. I shouldn't call her that. I don't know. But they took it up to the reverend or whatever her title was. And she took the hat and she would randomly put her hand in the hat and she would mix it up. And she would take the notes and pass them in front of her eyes and up to the middle of her forehead, which would be like the third eye, right?
Right.
And she would say, oh, man, you know, I feel this. Somebody out here, you know, their great-grandmother says they love blue. And, you know, it would be vague, but some of the answers were right on. And some of the people that were in this group would be in tears. I mean, they would be like, oh, my God, I was contacted. Oh, I feel it. My uncle contacted me, you know. And these people really, truly believed in this. So although I left skeptical, because I always am skeptical of everything, mm-hmm. I still have respect for these people's beliefs.
Absolutely. I mean, it is belief, it is faith, and you have to respect it. And, you know, on so many levels, needs are being met in a good way.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I mean, until they start asking you to write a check or something. You know, needs are being met, and that, you know, it's fine. That's
oh, but please,
is.
Who doesn't do that? You know, I, personally, one of my favorite songs was the song Satellite, you know, God needs to buy me... God wants me to buy a satellite.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But you know what? I think the spiritualist movement, man, I think it was cool. I love studying it. I love listening to it. The people, especially back in the days, a lot of things changed. And I think we've gotten away from, everybody always says, well, if ghosts are all around us, why can't I hear them? Well, how many times did you just turn off the TV and turn off the lights and sit still?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
How many times do you actually focus and tune yourself in with your surroundings? And how many times in a day do weird things happen and you just dismiss it? That shadow in the corner, that sound in the basement. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do. I live in a real old house.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, I'll tell you, Sean, one of the first really weird experiences I had when I first started studying this stuff was I went to a spiritualist group and they took us on a guided meditation. And I sat in the meditation... And everything they described to me, all of a sudden, I started to see. And then as they started calling us back from the meditation, I realized I was standing above my body, looking down at it.
Oh, yeah.
Slunched over in the chair. And I was having an out-of-body experience. And all I could think of was, how the heck do I get back in? I freaked out. And all of a sudden, the next thing I knew, I was sitting there. And I was real, but I had seen everybody sitting around me, what they were doing, all that stuff. It was a bizarre experience. I cannot explain it. Was it real? I don't know.
Well, you know what, guys? I wanted to have an out-of-body experience for so long, and one night I did, and I was standing above my body, and all I could think was, God, is my ass fat. So I never want to do another one, you know what I mean? I don't want to look at myself anymore from the, you know? I mean, that was my spiritual awakening, I guess, you know? But that's what the spirits chose to show me, my fat ass, so.
No, it's what you looked at.
No, I'm kidding. I didn't.
It
have
was the angle by which you were looking at your butt right. There, Sean.
Right.
At least you didn't have to see the view that everybody else got to see of Jason's butt this week on Extreme Paranormal.
because they blurred it out.
He's the only man I know on television.
Oh. What was that, Sean?
I said he's the only man I know, and I'm proud to know him, that's had his butt crack blurred out on public television. Or not public television, all over the world.
Can't be the only one.
What were you saying, Bonnie?
I'm not going to say it's the only positive thing, but one of the positive things I can say about Camp Chesterfield and the spiritualist movement as a whole, it's extremely calming. And centering, regardless of what you believe, regardless of how I felt when I left Camp Chesterfield, like when me and Sean and Doug were in the bookstore, it was very calming, very relaxing. It was not the day-to-day, oh my God, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. What am I gonna do about this? What am I gonna do about that? It was, we were calm, we were centered, we were in the moment, and we didn't care about anything else.
Right. Well, when you work with anything like that, you have to look inwards, and that automatically means, okay, let's get rid of the distractions here, and let's see what's going on that's not just, you know, the 10-second attention span that most of life requires. It takes you in. It it is calming, and it's, you know, it's very good that way.
Well, you know, I remember, Sean, you remember me, like, going insane while we were out on the road because I didn't have time to meditate during the day.
Right, right.
I'm used to meditating a half hour to an hour a day, and that just, like, drove me insane that I didn't get that opportunity.
And I like to take bubble baths.
Yeah, I like both, actually.
With rose petals.
Yeah.
Well, Jeannie, give us a little bit of insight on the sweet by and by. Tell us a little bit about what people are going to see on the inside when they open up that book.
Well, it's got two timelines in it. One is the Maggie Fox story in the 19th century, and her story is very close to what actually happened in her life. Her love affair with the explorer Elijah Kane, how Maggie kind of disintegrated into alcohol and drugs and became really unreliable and very dangerous even for herself, her confession and how people would not accept her confession, and you know, her death, which was very, very sad. And then I mixed it with an invented 20th century story about a woman journalist who's very involved with statistics and figures and what can really be perceived through verifiable information. And she has a very sad event in her life, and she starts to move closer and closer into spiritualism. And the two time stories at some point begin to merge, and the rationalist and the spiritualist start to experience similar things, although they're in different centuries. And it's very much a love story. It's about mourning lost love and how we use faith to kind of get us through some of the really awful moments.
And where can... Oh, go ahead.
But, you know, the story of Maggie, I just fell in love with her story. And not even, you know, was she a real spiritualist? Was she false? It was her life just was so rich and mysterious and filled with stories. And I was originally attracted to it because my grandmother believed very strongly in spiritualism and had one of those old, you know, turn-of-the-century houses where mirrors dropped off the walls and,
yes,
and things like that. Oh, yeah. So, I wanted to live there for a while and see what is it like to really think about this stuff and to have to deal with it. And, you know, things do start to happen.
Oh, yeah?
Well, where can people find the book right now?
Right now, mostly through Amazon, because it's not in stock in bookstores. So it would be like one of those Amazon searches.
Well, go into the bookstores, people, and tell people you want the book. Tell them, I want the sweet by and by. Make them look it up and order it for you.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. Make them do that.
And then send it back to Jeannie, because I want an autographed copy. So we'll have to send it off.
Okay.
It's a lot of autographs, babe.
Okay.
Jeannie, are you going to be out doing any book signings or anything like that?
Maybe later on, not right now. I'm working on a new novel, and I stay kind of close to my work table when I'm working on something in first draft. So
Very cool.
I'll be around.
Hey, Sean, Bonnie, anything you need to ask Jeannie before we have to end tonight?
I'll let you know.
Bonnie,
I'm good, hon.
Okay.
No, Jeannie, I just wanted to thank you so much, because what you brought some light to is inside scoop on the Fox sisters, and they're so amazing, and what they did and what they went through in that time and era, what they accomplished was amazing.
Yeah, they were fabulous. They were very, very fabulous. But thank you. This was fun.
It was.
And who knows? Maybe the Fox sisters were onto something, guys, and who knows?
Well, you know, I always joke that Maggie Fox crashed my computer.
Maybe.
Because
maybe.
After I stopped working on that book, my computer just died. It would not do anything.
Well, I'll tell you we had somebody come in who told us that every time they come on a show, the spirits crash the computer. And sure enough, they crashed my computer that night.
I think they can do that. I really do.
It's, Jeannie, I have one other question I wanted to ask you. Okay. How many times have you gone out for Halloween as I Dream of Jeannie?
Never.
Oh, come on.
I hated that show. I hated it. Father Eden was cute, but it always just was ridiculous. He was always yelling at her to put on decent clothing, and then she'd put on those mini skits that showed more flesh than her Jeannie costume.
Jeannie, just call me Master one time. That's all. No, I'm kidding.
Never.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Master.
Okay.
I try.
Well, Sean, I hate to say it, but I think it's time for us to thank everybody for joining us tonight for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Absolutely, guys. And Jeannie, wow, check out her book, The Sweet By and By, and be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log onto our forums because, hey, we want to hear from you.
And thank you, Bonnie Joe, for coming on and keeping us company tonight.
Yay!
You boys are welcome. I love you, boys.
I'll call you in a bit.
We love you, too.
Okay, honey. Bye-bye.
And everybody remember, if you missed Extreme Paranormal last week, you could turn it on right now on the Biography Channel. And be sure and catch it tomorrow night when we go down to Manchek Swamp and Pennhurst. What is it? Would you say it is a
State School and Hospital.
Right. And
hey, guys, make sure you go to AETV.com if you feel like it and support us. If you want to see us, let the world know, guys, because we love you.
Oh, yeah.
And Jeannie, hang on the line. We're going to be ending, but we'd love to talk to you as soon as this is over.
Okay.
All right, folks. Thanks for joining us tonight. Join us next Sunday. Hopefully we'll be on next Sunday. We're trying to put a guest together, put a show together. It's Halloween weekend, so things might get a little crazy, but we're going to try. So that would be November 1st. We're going to do our best to have a show out here for you guys.
There you go, guys. And we love you. Hey, don't go changing ghost hunters. We won't. We love you. Once again, good night, everybody.
Good night.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
I'm sorry, Sean. I just didn't get to hit that button all night. I had to give it a try.
You could have hit it about 500 times for me.
I know.
Well, I don't like what I work. I'm wasting my precious time. I'm working day in and slaving day out, and I'm losing my worried mind. I'm running my poor ass ragged, and I'm living from day to day. Man telling me what to do just makes me want to say to those heathens and hooligans, you won't get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother, I can use a beer. I don't need you and I don't need this. I want to make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans.